Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson on the J.C. Hawk Sports Network. Joining us tonight is Jennifer Garland Johnson of the Tennessee Thunder women's tackle football team, who was inducted to the Women's Football Hall of Fame. The Tennessee Thunder are the 2022 national champions. The fifth quarter with Coach Johnson is sponsored by the United States Women's Football League.
All right. Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Glad to be back on here. Shoot, it's been way too long. 2 years, I believe. And, shoot, there's a lot of stuff happened in 2 years. And we sure miss being on here, no doubt. And talk about champions. We can add another championship under our belt. We just come from Orlando, Florida. We played, Jennifer played, and the Red American team in the Patriot Bowl, and our side won. So we were the event champions of that. So we can add another championship under our notch here. We like adding championships. That's the main thing for us, is we're all about winning. Anybody knows that. No matter where you go and what you do, I think that's real important. But, you know, man, it really has been too long. We've missed so much being on here. The Thunder team has actually dropped the Tri-Cities because we're expanding all over the state. We should have years ago. We talked about it when we named this team the Tri-Cities, going with Tennessee, and I don't know for whatever reason we didn't, but we now changed it to the Tennessee Thunder, and it's still the same Thunder brand. It's still the same Thunder way. That kind of things have never changed. A lot of people don't like it. You know, I heard Coach G, he's the main guy over the AFE All-Stars. And, you know, he was talking down there this weekend and giving a speech. And he was like, you know what, this organization ain't, you know, and that's the same way with the Thunder. We got a certain way we like to do things around here. A lot of people don't like it, and it's not for everybody. You know, and we've seen a lot of people come and go, but the ones that stick around, they know what we're all about, and they know I'm going to be who I am no matter who you are. I'm going to holler, and I'm going to scream and chew on you, and we're probably going to have words and spat it out, but in the end, we all know one thing that we have in common, and that's winning. And that's what we do here. And so the Thunder has never left. We just changed it to Tennessee. We have had under our belts this past year. You know, everybody, we had a lot of players leave to start their own team. They went, didn't even make the playoffs, and you know, everybody counted us out when they left. You know, they took most of the veteran players that we had. And so they went on, and they had a season. And they sent us to playoffs, and everybody doubted us. And we just kept plugging along. It wasn't pretty. It didn't look good at times, you know, before the season started. But you know what? It all come together. You know, you just got to – when you got a way of doing things, you just stay on – you can't argue with success. I don't care what you say. There's a lot of coaches around the country that I'm not a fan of the way they do things, but guess what, man? They win football games. And in the end, to me, that's what matters. It ain't how you do it. It's if you do it. So we're glad that, you know, things happen that way. Like I say, people come and go. And, so we went on to do things the way we like to do them. We traveled a lot, went on the road more than we ever have. It was pretty good. Some of these girls got fly to these places we played, and experience a lot of the stuff that big teams do that smaller teams like us don't get to do. You know, I was talking about just a little while ago about this Patriot game in Orlando. You know, what a great experience for especially new girls. I've seen all these new girls that you know, come from other teams that some of them had won a championship in the WFA or the WNFC or whatnot. I'm not sure any of those were there, but WNFC, but some of the players were. And but to see these new girls come in and look on their faces of excitement and, you know, flying, and every time you leave to go to a team practice or a team event, we all ride a big charter bus together. I mean, it really felt like a professional atmosphere, you know. And these girls, you know, I ain't gonna tell you this. When we walked in, they handed us a paper, and it was planned down to the hour every day what you had to do. And they don't believe in being late. I like that about them. We went and did some work out in the community at the Boys and Girls Club. Went and give them a bunch of school supplies, had a little ice cream party for them. They did a lot of dancing and stuff like that. They're big on that, this AFE. They're huge on that. So it was a great time, great atmosphere. I went last year. Was the first time, and they played in Myrtle Beach, and I just drove over and watched the game. I didn't really, you know, experience none of the practices or anything like that. And I went over then. They, you know, I guess it's a tradition. They started last year and going to continue, and they call it the Patriot Games. And it's, you know, around or on 9/11. And, you know, it's all about the never forget the fallen heroes and the people we lost on that day. And They do a great job promoting it. I'll tell you right now, it's a lot of work, and they do a really good job of I can't imagine what it takes to pull that off. But anyway, what they do is they have a red and a blue, and this particular, the first one in Myrtle Beach, they have a draft, and Jennifer was drafted on the red team. And the red team won last year. I can't remember the score of that, but they did win. And then they went to Mexico. And they play blue and the red. They all run the same plays. It's just a zero game. And they try to get the best players, as many as they can, to go on to these other countries and play, in which they went to Mexico and played like five games last year in 3 days. They went on to win that. They held the five other teams scoreless. So it was a great, I didn't go, Jennifer went. It was a great experience for her. And so they won that. She was a co-offensive MVP of that game. And to be playing offensive line and to do that is a accomplishment, because I know I just met the other girl that was coming back, and she's really, really good. She scored twice at least for us on this past Saturday. But after that, they come home. That game, those were in March, and then they had this Patriot game. It was in Orlando, and somehow or another, I ended up helping coach the red side and coach the offensive line, defensive line, and we won 24-12. And some of those girls show up, you know, here we look at them, you know, and are talking and saying, hey, I think they're here, and you talk to them. I said, well, I've never played there, and then you put them in that position. Boy, they balled out, you know, so. It's great to see these, young girls, old girls, however you want to call it, women, playing in these kind of setups that they ordinarily wouldn't get to play in. You know, it gets, when you play when you play for a team, it's usually the same old, same old, same old, same old thing. You know, I really think that these are getting tired of just the same old scenario. Year after year after year, you know, you play this amount of games here and there. You play the same old teams. I think they're getting tired of it. I think that's why these kind of setups were are starting to be a big hit because they moving around. Like last year's in Myrtle Beach, this year's in Orlando, and this coming March they're going somewhere in Brazil to play. So you know, and they'll take probably top at least 50, up to 50 players from the red and blue to combine for one team. You know, and I heard the coach say that they was going to do a lot of traveling and things of that nature. Now, I know it gets expensive, but, you know, for a lot of these girls, that's probably an opportunity they'd never get if it wasn't for this AFE All-Stars and to be going out on the limb. I mean, can you imagine just trying to get all this stuff set up in a foreign country? And they said they went to Mexico and all that was pulled off without a hitch. So it is a great organization. It's a great great way to get these girls recognized and get them out there on the field and let them experience a lot of great things that, like I say, they ordinarily wouldn't get to do with their teams, you know. And like I say, you play the same teams every year, the same. I think that gets old for these people, you know. Like, went a little different in high school and college because you move on after every two or three years. You know, you got different people, but, and that's sort of been that way with us. We have players move on, but for most of these teams, you keep the same players and the same players and the same players, and then you play the same teams each year. And whoever adds a player or two is the team that can win, you know. So these kind of set going to become more and more popular as the years go on. And, you know, I actually had come up with a few good ideas myself where, you know, where three teams meet and play each other a couple quarters, and the two winners play each other another couple quarters. And you start having these event all-star type setups like they're having over there, I think you can get more people interested. You don't have to go to the same old place all the time and play. It gives you, you don't have to play every week or every other week. You can play like every third week. But, you know, it's different. We'll have to see what catches on and go from there. But, you know, the best thing about it is when I watch these girls at these dinners and meetings and all that, and I just, you know, watched how they were so excited about it. And, you know, when you get people excited, good things happen. And, you know, and now you're talking, I think they said there was 39 states represented. So that's a lot of different girls from a lot of different teams, and all their coaches are way different, and all their plays are different plays. And so there's a lot more that goes into it than just showing up and playing. I mean, we practice like 3 hours every day in 98, 97 degree temperature with humidity that would just blister you, you know. So it was hot. It was challenging, but we all made it through. Like I said, good way to go out and see how other people do it, and something to be enjoyable. And the players that, you know, that you meet, that, you know, some of these girls I've seen play on live stream TV, whatever they call that, through the WNFC and places. A lot of these girls I saw play, and then, you know, we got to meet, or they were on our team, and, you know, really, really nice. Some of them not so nice, but for the most part, most of them were really nice. And we're going to have some on the show in the next few weeks and talk to them. And some that, you know, went to Mexico and played, and some that played this weekend, and I presume probably played in Myrtle Beach and played on a WNFC team that went two rounds deep. And, you know, like I say, some that was in, and I guess, Division II and won a championship. And so there was a lot of good things happened down there. It was, you know, it was good to be there and shoot, just to take a week off from work, you know, is always great. But it was a good time. But I'll tell you this, I'm glad to be back in Tennessee. There ain't no doubt in my mind. I'm glad to be back in Tennessee because the temperature has been just perfect. We got up this morning to go to work, and it's 55 degrees. So it was just beautiful here the last few days. And, man, the water and the, I don't know, just vacation and all that's always good to go. But, boy, it sure is glad to be back home when the time comes. So, well, I guess we're going to have Jennifer come on and talk about here in the next few minutes being inducted into the U.S. being the first woman that they first woman that they inducted into that, and what an accomplishment that is. And you know, we went down there, that's where we played the championship game, and we went down there and they had a Hall of Fame game and had a nice dinner. It was a great experience as well. Give us just a second. We'll be back with Jennifer to talk about that.
Hey, y'all. This is Rebecca Pounders, number 7 nose guard for the Tennessee Thunder. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to my coach on the fifth quarter.
All right. Thank you. Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about how this all got started with this. You know, we've seen some Hall of Fame inductees down there at the AFE All-Stars, and I didn't really, you know, I seen it, but I don't really know. Tell me, you know, tell everybody how all this, you know, got started for you to be inducted into the USA International Hall of Fame and being the first woman inducted.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how it came about because I thought you had to be retired to be in the Hall of Fame from just watching men's football, but that's the first question I asked. Matter of fact, I was at work when the guy called, and I was kind of like, who is this guy? Like, you know, you get those telemarketer calls all the time, and I'm thinking, you know, somebody trying to sell me something. And I was sitting out in the car on break with my coworker, and she just kind of looked at me funny. She realized what was happening before I did. And the guy, you know, said he had researched our team and some things that we had accomplished in such a short amount of time and followed us. And that's kind of how it happened. And he asked me right then, and would I want to be inducted? I was like, do you have to accept this? Like, I wasn't even sure how all this worked. And I was like, yeah, sure, but can I call you back? And he was like, when I get off work? And he's like, sure, you know. So I hung up with him, and Lisa, my work mom, she's like, Jennifer, do you just realize what just happened? And like, and I was like, no, not really. I didn't. Like, I thought, you know, I wasn't sure. And so I called him back that afternoon, evening when I got off work, and we talked further in detail, and, you know, I kind of apologized for thinking he was a telemarketer and that he didn't, that didn't deter him away, but we just moved forward from there. But, you know, USA Football International is an event owned by, it's an organization, I guess, owned by Tony Antonello. I probably butchered that last name. I'm not sure it's how you pronounce it, but he's living in Canada now. He's out of South Carolina, but he's the one that actually owns and runs the organization, and they play stateside as well as international. So up until this event, they had only had men introduced into their Hall of Fame. So I didn't know that at the time. I didn't find out until after the event that actually it was the first woman, you know. So as far as the AFE, they have their own Hall of Fame. We've seen 4 women very well deserved was 33 women. Very well, it was four.
No, it was four.
Very well deserving.
No, it was four.
Yeah, it was four. Yeah, very well deserving. You know, very well accomplished in their era. But each organization, I assume, has their own stipulations and standards you got to meet to be inducted into their Hall of Fame. So those ladies that got inducted, congratulations to them. But they've had a woman's several, I think, before. So this wasn't their first time. This wasn't anything new to them. So as far as the USA Football International, they had men before, and they actually have a they don't actually have like a Hall of Fame like Canton for men, but he said in their office they have a I don't know what the correct word is for it, but it's like a big plaque type
big
thing
plaque
on the wall, and it's got it's got a picture of every inductee and their name and their year, you know, just a basic little metal tag underneath with their information on it in their wall. Their office is based actually in Indianapolis area in Indiana. So, you know, it was a really cool experience. You know, like I said, a nice banquet. From I didn't know any of the other people getting inducted, but from what we heard, some very deserving men. I was the first woman and currently still the only woman. Yeah, it was all coaches that had got inducted, no other players. So it was really cool. You know, all the teams showed up and supported me pretty much, and that really meant a lot, having all them there and sharing the experience. You know, it creates a bond with your teammates. Anytime you get to hang out and have dinner and just chit-chat and enjoy the moment. You know, we had the big game the next day, so we got to hang out at the pool a couple days early, and just a great experience for our organization all the way around.
Right. Well, there are two. You got your mom and your family there, dad and sister and all your niece and all them there, which normally don't get the or don't come watch you play, but I set it up for make sure they come to that thing, and I know that meant a lot to you. And you know, the whole thing was really, really nice and just a little better. They didn't, in my opinion, have the have it scheduled, or probably didn't do the homework and the legwork as good as the AFE. But had they just did a little bit more, that could have been a unbelievable special weekend for not just you, but for all them and for everybody that was involved. I mean, it was great and it was fun, but you know, certain things, you know, didn't do come. And with just a little bit more of hard work, I believe it could have been an unbelievable weekend.
Right. Yeah. You know, I appreciate you getting them set up, and that did mean a lot because They're not sport fan, and I can count on the number of times on one hand that they've seen me play. So, you know, that – excuse me, I got a cough. Sorry about that. But the number of times I can count on one hand that they've seen me play. So, you know, getting them out and down there for the weekend was exciting. You know, even though they probably didn't really even know what that meant, but you know, just having them there was good. And yeah, it could have used a little more, you know, but you know, hindsight's always 20/20 and tweaking things. But you know, I'd set up an opportunity to have Mike speak for a couple minutes, and then of course you to do the actual inductee. But he kind of got skipped over, and I felt really bad that he didn't get a chance to speak after I already had him, you know, had asked him, and he had already, I'm sure, mentally prepared and had his stuff lined up to do that. So I felt really bad he didn't get a chance to speak, but it is what it is. Maybe in the future I can make the AFE one and y'all get a chance to talk again.
Well, you never know what'll happen. You know, we played a lot of football And to be honest, we've seen players, you know, get inducted, and we watch these big teams play every week, and all you hear is these announcers talk about how these players are great, and I'm not saying they're not, but, you know, then you watch the USA teams, and there is a lot of great players on those teams, but I'm telling you, I've seen just as many good players this weekend as they are on those, and, you know, I think it's one of those, you know, a name-dropping kind of deal that gets you into a lot of these Hall of Fames, and, you know, for anybody to even recognize not just you, but our like down there this weekend, you know, it's like, where do y'all play? Where do y'all play? And, you know, then you tell them, oh, well, y'all kicking everybody's butt. Why don't you move up? And, you know, and you have to tell them, well, listen, where do you move up? We don't have but 15 or 16 players, you know. So to be recognized with a player like that, with like you, to be inducted and recognize this team after, you know, we've put in a lot of hard work. Nobody knows about it. Nobody cares about it. But we've put in a lot of hard work over the years to win these football games. You know, I figured up there was only like five or six championships all of last year. And every year it's been that same year. So to be recognized as a player off of this team and this organization, it's just, to me, was more amazing than anything.
Right, yeah, it really, you can't put into words what it means to see, you know, the sacrifices that you have made and all the work and the behind the scenes, just everything that you've done that seems like, oh, I'm fed up, I'm tired, this, I can't take it no more, the legwork, just the sometimes frustration, just the manual stuff of hours sitting behind the computer doing flyers, setting up events, just to actually going and setting up the event. All those hours are just, I feel like that's all part of the process that's helped make me the player that I am. Is I think if a lot of players had that same experience, it would up their level, another level of play. I mean, because some for the majority of the team, they show up and play, and it's game day and go home, and we don't think or worry about anything else till next game day, you know. So it's booking the motels, it's getting the travel arrangements made. All that stuff, I think, comes into play of making you really appreciate the game more, taking it more dedicated, more seriousness of it more. You know, I think all that really came into play as far as helping build this organization to take it on, you know, where we should have won, but have more than three national championships at just from our little level. So to experience and accomplish what we have in really what seems like a long period of time, but in reality it's not, to accomplish so much in this short period of time is pretty rewarding. You know, I hope eventually a lot more of our players stick around long enough that they can feel this same feeling, to feel the excitement that, you know, because I feel like that there's so many people that had a hand in it that even though it has my name on that trophy, it's not just me. It's not just mine. I feel like you put so much into it. You know, other people have put so much work into it with us. And without, you know, obviously the team and the players, we don't have those championships. So there's so many other people and so much other stuff that's went into this just because my name's on the trophy. I feel like I share it with so many people and they may not even realize it, you know. So it's really special. It was a nice award in itself. The actual award they gave me was very nice, you know. The whole deal, just it's indescribable to get that recognition.
Right. Well, here's something that, you know, that goes back to what I said. It's amazing that they would find you from a small team like this. They find you, and you know, that they go one step back to the game in Myrtle Beach when they had the draft. you were either the last player took or very near the last player took. Of course, I didn't help coach, but you went down there, and every day we're talking about it. And listen, rightfully so. I'm not just throwing all those coaches under the bus, not just entirely, but, you know, as a coach, you got to give everybody an opportunity to see what they have. And when, you know, when me and you were talking on the phone, it's like, hey, I'm better than these people, but I don't think I'm going to get a chance, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, you didn't really get the chance. And then you never came out. So that night at the banquet, you know, when it's all said and done, and we're sitting around there, and Miss G comes, you know, over there chit-chatting, and she is asking who I was, and I told her, and she's like, you know, we had a talk. She was the biggest surprise we had here. You know, we drafted her. She's 40 years old, and thanks what she said, her 41, and from Piney Flats, Tennessee. Piney Flats is certainly don't know who the Tri-City Thunder are, and you know, we didn't have no idea. So you go from that to the next thing is you go on to Mexico and you play every snap at center, and you go on to become co-offensive MVP. So you know what I'm saying? We don't get the recognition here. Small team, because we usually play in small leagues. You can't play in a big league with 15 or 16 players. So, you know, go through that experience a little bit for us.
Well, it was kind of a great experience and a bad experience all in one, and I'll explain that. As you said, you know, I signed up for the invite to go over there and was really excited about, you know, I'd never really been to anything like this in Myrtle Beach. So we went there, or I went there, you know, like I said, you came later, but I went there on my own, and I was on my own, didn't know anyone, literally walked in and sit down and did not know a soul on my team. And I was totally out of my element. I was like the shy kid in the corner, because all these people are at these events, know everybody because they've been there before, or they're social butterflies, and I'll talk to you once I get to know you, but as far as just walking up and starting a conversation, you know, I have a problem doing that a lot of times. So I was so out of my element and just, you know, was thinking, why'd I do this? So as practice goes on, you know, the first day of practice, I was a nervous wreck, because didn't know anybody. I didn't know what to expect. I just, you know, kept giving it 100% every time I got the opportunity. And of course, the girl that played center had been there to previous events with them. They knew her. Of course, when they are hunting a starting center, she jumps right in there, and nobody else, you know. And I was like, okay. So I just kind of stepped back and watched how things played out. And then the second, I was like, we talked, and I was like, okay, listen, I was getting irritated because she was having bad snap after bad snap. And I didn't have a single bad snap in practice. I didn't have a single fluke or a hiccup. You know, everything they ran was totally opposite of what we ran here. And it was all new to me, but it was, just, you know, it just all started flowing, and when it did, it was like, I can do this. You know, first you're doubting yourself because everybody already knows everybody, so they kind of got their people in place. And so, you know, you're doubting yourself at first. Can I do this? I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not, you know, kind of always been there for me to fall back on, or, you know, you to tell me this, that, or the other to kind of guide me, and I was on my own. So that's the good and the bad of it. The bad of it was I didn't have you there, but the good of it was I didn't have you there because it turned out to be great. You know, the game, it ended up, fast forward through practice, you know, I didn't have a botched snap. I didn't have a bad snap. You know, everything, I practiced and as good as I could. You know, I didn't have a hiccup. Come game time, I knew they was going to start her, no doubt, you know, no matter that she had the worst practice of any center ever seen off her butt on the ground. I mean, it was just so inconsistent. And the offensive line coach, and you know, he's like dragging his heels. And I was in his ear, you know, like, give me a chance. And that's what I was telling him on the sideline. All I'm asking for is a chance. Just give me a chance. I'll show you I can help run the offense. I can show you that I know what I'm doing. Just give me a chance. He gives me a chance. We hadn't scored at that point. He puts me in the game. We go straight down the field and score. Ended up second half, I started the rest of the game. We ended up won by double-digit score. So the good and the bad to that is, you know, I doubted myself. And you doubt your capabilities because you're pushed to the back burner when you can clearly see that you're better than what's there. But you just got to fight for what you want and fight to show them. And that's all I kept telling him, just give me that chance, give me that chance. And, you know, I'm sure as a coach, he was like, I don't know you, you know. Even though in practice he's seen that everything was, but when he gave me that chance, he realized, hey, you know, this was the right move. But so fast forward, you know, the experience ended on a high note after it started a little rocky. You know, I met another girl, Teresa Honeycutt, who we actually ended up became really good friends with. She was there by herself. She knew no one. She actually walked in the room and sat down right beside me, and I said, I'm assuming you don't know anybody here because you came and sat beside me. And when I'm sitting over here in the corner by myself, she said, nope. So that started a friendship right off the bat. So we kind of just stuck together, and you know, on the side notes, we done the community service together. We just kind of hung out and talked about things, and she actually started and played the whole game. So it worked out really well. Then the opportunity came up to go to Mexico, and by then I was like, you know, this is a chance that, one time I got the chance to go to Finland to play football, and I didn't take it, and you tried to get me to, and I didn't because I didn't want to be going home that long, and you said, you'll regret this if you don't do it. And I didn't do it, and I regretted it still to this day that I didn't do it. So when the chance came to go to Mexico, my work was really pissy about me taking off, and I was like, I don't care. This is the chance that I'm not going to pass up again. So I went. It was a fabulous experience. It was great. Never had been to Mexico. We got to do some tourist stuff. And then we played all those games in that short amount of time. I started at center from day one, game one, played every single snap at center, never had a bad snap, never had a fluke, and ended up and won the co-offensive MVP with Ken, who's a running back that's really bad news. So to even share that honor with her was beyond amazing. So
I
mean, she really is. I'm going to get love. So when I won that, I was like, it really blew me away to come from somebody they wouldn't even look at giving a chance to now just four or five games later to their coach giving me the, you know, I don't feel like he gave it to me because I feel like I earned it because we played a lot of football. To share that award with her in that short amount of time and earning their trust to, you know, put the reins in my hand. We went there, and not a single one of us had ever, other than Honeycutt, had ever played together at this time at any snap. So it was all new people coming together to learn, you know, and working it. It was excellent. It was fabulous. So, great experience.
You're right. Well, you know, too. Besides Honeycutt, I mean, she played with us this year, but actually, she's going to play somewhere else. She lives in Nebraska. It was just a deal where she made it work, and because we had some travel games up her way that she could make it work, but. Here's an amazing stat for you. I said earlier, 39 states represented this past weekend, and three, not counting Honeycutt, three Thunder players that have played here multiple years started for these two teams on the offensive line. So you know what? For nobody and those players, guess what? They also got drafted last. So three starters within this game that were drafted either last or next to the last on each set for both teams in this game. What about that? What kind? You know, it's frustrating when as a team owner, as a team coach, you know these girls, and I'm not saying they don't need a lot of work because they do and they know it, but, you know, you're sitting there and you hear your all these girls' names go off and you go off, and you know they're going off because they play for bigger teams.
Big-name
teams and all that, and then to come to find out they draft you last, but guess what? You know,
and Harv all that
played every play almost.
It's not where you start, it's where you finish. So, you know, they overlook you because, well, Tennessee Thunder, they don't play in the WNFC or the WFA or, you know, you don't play for the DC Divas or the whoever. You know, they look at that big name because they think, oh, they play at a big name, they must can really play. You know, there's so many good players that play on little teams, and I don't know why they don't realize that, because after talking to a lot of these girls at this event this time, you know, now I've got to know a lot of these girls and where they play. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all have one goal, and that's just to play football. So whether you play for WNFC or WFA or with us, you know, because we're
US
always looked down on
WFL or whoever.
Right. You know, it's not where they take you in that draft. It's how you perform when you get there and showing them how bad you want that opportunity and then taking advantage of it once you get it. You know, it don't do you no good to get that opportunity and then lay a goose egg. You know, one of our girls didn't get to play too much, and she was bummed out about it. And I was like, how bad did you fight for it? How much did you work that coach telling him, you know, did you show out in practice? Did you give it 100%? You know, just filling it out. Well, I'm not sure how much she did fight for it because that's not necessarily her mentality. But you want something bad enough, and you're gonna fight for it. See, and that's the way it worked out for me. So, you know, at the end of the day, you just gotta go perform.
You do. I mean, you know, I don't know about the blue team, but, you know, we didn't have very many linemen, but we moved them around, give everybody an opportunity, and, you know, we used up every single player on the red team we had, you know, and that's all I know. And my biggest thing is, and the takeaway from you getting inducted, being the co-offensive MVP, it doesn't matter where you play. It doesn't matter. You know, I tell all these people all the time, I get so tired of hearing, oh, if you don't play for a big team, you can't get recognized. That's crazy, man. There's guys in the NFL that Jerry Rice and them, those guys, Terrell Owens played at UT Chattanooga down there. These kind of guys that don't play for big teams but are great players for whatever reason. You look at Randy Moss, fell back to are great players. It's the same thing in women's. There's a lot of great players. Just because you might play on a little team doesn't mean you're good. And I'll tell you this. I'd rather be a big frog in a small pond as a small frog in a big pond any day of the week. And my take from that is, you know, like I said, you getting inducted, which was amazing. Just for them to follow a team like ours, to recognize the hard work that you put in, our organization's put in, and now hopefully that we'll realize that just because you're from Piney Flats, Tennessee, playing for Tennessee Thunder with 15 or 16 players, don't mean you can't play. And, you know, for what happened this weekend and happened, do what?
In their 40s.
Yes, yes, in her 40s. That was what she made a statement to me. So, but anyway, well, Jennifer, I appreciate you coming on, telling us about all that. And like I said, it's a great accomplishment for you and the team and your teammates. And, you know, so many people have went in. I mean, listen, if it hadn't been, you wouldn't have had that opportunity. So, you know, and it's mainly been different 14 or 15. So a lot of people have came in to play a role in you getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Right. Yep, mainly so. You for pushing me.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'll continue. Well, I appreciate you coming on. We're going to telling us about it. And you hang up here. We got Coach Mike Wallace. He's going to join us. We ain't seen much of him lately, so we're going to pick his brain a little bit.
All right. I'll be listening.
How about it, Coach? You there?
I am. How's it going?
Hey, man, what's going on? Where you been hiding?
Man, at practice. Practice,
yeah,
practice,
well,
practice. Yeah.
Y'all need a lot of practice.
Yeah, we do. We listen, man, we tell our kids to fall in love with practice, and they haven't done it yet, and it hasn't shown, so we're going to keep
doing. You know
it.
What, man? One of the best team ropers in the world champion, said this, and I believe it wholeheartedly. He said, if you like to win, you better love to practice.
You know, listen, the process is of getting better. That's the beauty of football. If football is the only sport, if you look at baseball, soccer, hockey, football is the only sport where you practice more than you play. And you need to take advantage of that. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while for kids to get it, and sometimes it doesn't. But, unfortunately for us, we're you know, it's a work in progress.
Hey, you might want to call Dallas and the Texas Longhorns and tell them that, man.
Yeah, well, I figured you'd bring that up. First of all, yeah, the Dallas thing is expected. But I'm going to tell you this, though. Them Texas Longhorns, you go Horns, they had that game. And they should have won it.
No,
but that just go ahead.
I said they about pulled it off, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And you know, listen, I think what me as a Texas fan, and I think all Texas fans, we got a good coach. I think Sarkisian is doing his job, and they can compete. I think they'll be fine in the SEC, but we'll see.
Oh, I think they'll be all right. I told, well, our game was just getting over there, and Jennifer was telling me that Alabama was about to get beat. But now I told her before, I said, you know this Sarkisian guy for Nick. And I said, Nick had a lot of faith before he left. I said, I wouldn't be surprised about the game. I didn't think it'd be that close of a game, but it was a game.
It was a great game. And what you saw, what I saw as a fan of football in general was, you know, two schools that have a rich history going at it. And, you know, it just the pride of across the chest of these uniforms really stood out. And that's what, if you my takeaway from that game is that's why college football is just, it's just so amazing. Texas and Alabama playing, and it wasn't about the number or the name on the back. It was more so for the number, the name on the front. And it was an awesome game.
Right. Well, they'll be getting a good quarterback next year, too, and to help them along. Hey, we ain't got a whole lot of time here, but 10, 11 minutes or so. But, man, tell me, you know, not just how proud you are of Jennifer making the Hall of Fame, but for our whole team, for what we accomplished last year. And, dude, we sent 5 Thunder players over there to that AFE All-Stars. One this year, but naturally we knew that was only probably a 1-year thing. But, you know, basically we sent 4 tradition, you know, diehard Thunder players over there, and 3 of them started, man.
I was listening to that, and unfortunately I wasn't able to watch the game on live stream. But, you know, either your question is how proud I am of this organization and how proud I am of Jennifer. You know, yeah, you look at Jennifer, she's the first to practice and she's the last to leave. I mean, that's just the way it is. You see her out there, she's getting her warm-ups in, you know, she's pushing other players, and she has that mentality to where practice is what makes you a champion. It's, you know, you don't win games on Saturdays. You know, you win games preparing for them. And she takes that to heart, and it reflects on the field. And to say that I'm proud of her is really an understatement. You know, it humbles me to be able to say that, you know what, hey, Leonel, I got a chance to coach Jennifer Johnson. And, you know, she's just, you know, as equally as she is a great player, she's a better person. And, you know, she's just, you know, it's phenomenal to see somebody that puts in that work. And it you see it on TV all the time. And I know the ceremony that we went to wasn't televised. But we got to witness a Hall of Fame induction, and to be up there and just know that, you know, this is something that's never going to be taken away. You know, to the end of time, that this is going to be. And not only that, she was the first woman to be inducted into that Hall of Fame, which is an equally huge honor. And, you know, like I said, just to say that I'm proud is an understatement. You can't really put in the words just how you feel about it.
Well, not only that, she gave an ESPY speech award, man. What about the speech?
Yeah, listen, I had chills. You know, it I know that, you know, I don't remember the speech as far as word for word, but key points to where she started, to where she was, you know, how hard it was to get to where she was now that she's here. And, you know, and it didn't even miss a beat. And I don't know that she was – you could tell she wrote her own speech because she knew the speech. She was, you know, it didn't sound like she was reading it, but a heck of a speech.
Well, you know, man – even before you came along and even before we started this team, and you can't do that. You know, she heard forever down there at Tennessee Train, you can't play linebacker. You can't do this. You can't start a team. Mike, you've even heard it all the years you've been here. We can't do this. We can't do that. I mean, we lose all those players to another team that can't even make the playoffs, and they tell us you can't win any games. You can't coach the way you do. They don't like it. And look, man, I mean, we've heard that so many times. I mean, it's like drilled in my head, players we go and do with.
You know, we started this year, this past season, we started not even knowing we were going to have a team. I mean, we were doing everything we could just to invite players to come out and talk with us and look and, you know, see if it was something they were interested in. And we went from not to thinking we weren't going to have a team to having a team and then winning a national championship. We do that every year, it seems like, but this year was extraordinary for us. You know, it was I don't know if that's the right term, but it was just, I think, more meaningful because we had players bail on us based off of coaching technique. And you know, if you're a player, not all coaches appeal to all players, and not all players appeal to all coaches. But the common denominator is that both coach and both player want to win. But in that case, last year we didn't have that common denominator, and it was probably the best thing that could have happened to us. In hindsight, at the time we thought it was the worst, but you know, it worked itself out, and I think this is probably one of the most meaningful championships out of the three that we have for me.
Yeah, me too, because let's back up in 17, we were tough. I mean, we were just tough. We probably didn't have the best players on the field all the time, but we were tough, and we just had that toughness about us, and then we should have won one in 18. A fluke play kept us from it. But in 19, we knew we had the best players we'd ever had. We had the best players in the league. When we started this year, I mean, We didn't have any idea of what we were going to do until, you know, maybe after we went to Huntsville and Scrimmage Dem, you know, we seen a few bright spots, but basically, you know, up until the first game, how bad we were going to be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, with the players that we ended up picking up, the BAM was a heck of a pickup for us. Players that we thought were going to be good players that bailed on us. You could write a book about it, and you can actually make a movie probably about how this season unfolded until how it ended. It probably still wouldn't do it justice to go through it, to go through the not knowing every day, waking up and I'm not sure we're going to have a team. Don't know we're going to have a team to the way it ended. I don't know that there's any other team in the country at this level that could have done what we've done. And that just even makes me, it just makes me even, more proud of how we and what we've accomplished.
Yes, with the players we did. I'll never forget, and I know you won't either, we walked through the gate at our first home game. Our Shores, come to us and say, "Hey, boys, y'all better be ready. They got this team right here has a bunch of athletes, and I mean look like racehorses." And I'll never, ever forget. And I turned to both of them and said, "We don't have them, but I'll tell you what we have, and that's toughness." And when the game, you tell me who overcome who in that game.
Well, I only heard the last part of that. You kind of broke up on me. I didn't hear the middle part of the question. But you were referring to that game where, it looked like the odds were against us and how we overcame, how we overcame it. Listen, toughness is a reflection and an attitude of your, your coaches and your organization. And I think that game probably was more of a reflection of you as it was for me. I'm not as boisterous sometimes, I think, as you are on the sideline, but, I wish people could, they're listening to this and they think that it's just being, we're just talking it up, but it truly, truly is an amazing event to see when you have a team that is pretty much band-aid together and to watch them unfold their toughness and lay it on the field and lay everything on the line for each other in such a short time that they've known each other and have that outcome. It just makes you, it humbles you. It really does.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm going to talk a little further about this team because it truly, we're about to put an end to this season. This Saturday, we're giving our year-end awards. So, pretty much it's going to be done. It's on to next year. But just to talk it up a little bit about this team, we start 2-0 2 days before our third game. We've already beat the best team in the league twice, no doubt about it. And, 2 days before our third game, our second home game, our quarterback, arguably the best quarterback in the league, arguably the best quarterback we've ever had, football or anything. And, and I know this is on a different scale, but you look at the Cowboys. They put so much faith and money into Prescott. How many games they going to win this backup? And here we, from that point on to the end of the season, which we lost that game and then we never lost again. And we started 5, 6, or 7 girls, different girls at quarterback. And we go on to win and just play better every game. Man, just think of what that really means to a team and an organization and to these players, man. I mean, none of them, the girls we put in there, none of them had ever played quarterback. They didn't have a clue. and we're just one or two practices trying to cram all this stuff into them. You know, I don't know if we lost Mike or what, but I'm gonna tell y'all. Okay, yeah, that man, that right there to me is truly what the Thunder is all about. You know, and it comes to, and like you said, it bleeds through me and you. You know, because these girls are turning to us looking for these answers. But you know, it truly is. Is we just make it work on a short period of time.
Yeah, and you know, I know that there's a thousand stories out there. I know people are probably like, you know, well, we do the same thing. You know, but the difference is, I think in most cases, is that this year particularly, but even in the past years, I mean, we are taking players who are from other organizations that never even won a game. I mean, think about that. We've had players come from other teams here in Tennessee that have never won a game. And here they are, yep, first season with us, and they win a national championship. Tell me, you know, what are we doing wrong in this scenario with, you know, when it comes to people wanting to leave because of how we coach? You know, you tell us what we're doing wrong when we just put some more hardware on our fingers.
Those girls said, you know, after that first win, sitting on the bench and tears rolling down their eyes, and I'm like, what's wrong? And they're like, I ain't won a football game in 6 years. You know, we go to Kansas City, win in overtime, and a girl that was a huge key for us to win that game was like, first game I ever won in my life. Mike, I mean, that's amazing, man. When we take those kind of players and we the players and you're winning those games and tough games. I mean, we didn't blow out nobody, and we're just grinding them. That, you know what, that's a testament to the coach and to the organization and to these girls for believing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is a small, I guess what you would call a small market organization, and you know, 16 players, and we're in a small community, and we travel to big places, and you know, it's not always the size of the dog, but the size of the fight in the dog. And every time we show up, you know, you get a fight, and it's very rarely that a team shows up and you know, just out hearts us. You know, it's just who we are, and you know, it probably should be on a T-shirt. It's just who we are.
Well, man, I'll tell you, you know, we got these tryouts coming up. Maybe we'll get some new players and get a few of these girls to hang around and see if we can pull a repeat.
Well, you know, listen, every year is a new year and every year is a challenge. So, you know, I'm up for it as long as everybody else is up for it, and let's go for it.
Yeah, it got a little down about it, but in the end, you know, you still got girls like Jennifer and Zoe and Becky and Harv. I know more girls, but these girls bared down and went to that game and played. So, you know, we still got a lot of girls like this that want to play. And Teresa Taylor is down there. She's rejuvenated herself, and Witt and those girls, you know, they've really got excited because put in a lot more of that. So,
well, anytime you have the opportunity to either participate or watch those games, you know, I think anybody that has that opportunity should go. You know, I wish we could have sent more players, or I guess more players would have went. You know, the opportunity that they had, whether they played or not, they're going to realize next season that they learned a lot. And it may not show now, but, you know, when you know, the ball is kicked and then the lights are on, they're they're going to realize that that experience is going to help them on the football field.
Right, right. Maybe next week you can come over here and join us live. And, man, good luck to y'all this weekend, and hope you finally pull you out a victory.
Well, I appreciate it, and so do I. And thanks for having me on, man. Next week I could be down there. We'll make it a barbecue and drink some beer.
Hey, buddy, we'll do it.
All right, man. Thanks.
See you, bud. Hey, all right. Thanks for coming on. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. To same time. Really enjoyed it. See if I can get me a couple more guests to come on and talk. But until then, we'll catch you later.